morning.
Good morning.
Brothers and sisters, I again want to say it's good to see you. I welcome you to our service today. Now, we are in the middle of the Labor Day weekend. And, you know, I think Labor Day is a kind of strange holiday. There is no turkey to eat or presents to unwrap. And while we call it Labor Day, we try to do as little labor as possible. And many working people have the day off. I don't recall any of you this morning wishing me a happy Labor Day. We don't decorate the house, or we don't give Labor Day gifts to one another. Yes, Labor Day is a kind of strange holiday. It's certainly not a religious holiday. Now, however, to the worker, Labor Day may be a day off. For the policeman who must deal with extra traffic and alcohol abuse as people are celebrating, it's a tough day for them. To farmers and ranchers, it's just another day to feed the cattle and work in the field. It is the end of the summer. Schools are scrambling, trying to start up again. Indeed, celebrating the work we do is a very important part of our life. And we should be thankful for work and for the ability to do it. In Colossians 3, 23 and 24, it says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working to the Lord. It is the Lord Jesus Christ you are serving in your work." Notice who we are to be doing our work for, as working for the Lord. And that's important, that how we go about our labor. But work in our world today is in the midst of a great storm. There are millions of people out of work because of the coronavirus pandemic. There's civil unrest because of police brutality and riots from protesters. The national election is heating up with damaging accusations and defamatory character remarks. And there are schools and colleges trying to open up safely for millions of children in the coming weeks. We are in the midst of a great storm. This storm has inflicted untold physical and economical pain around the world for more than 6 months. Many tears have been shed over the coronavirus and its reign of death and financial ruin and social anxiety. We are troubled with the world situation. And that's why my sermon message today is entitled, "Where is God in all of this?" I'm not sure if members of the church family know that I remotely do website services for several churches as their webmaster. I have been doing this for about 3 years now. And at one church I serve, which is out of the state, about every week for the past 2 months, the pastor of that church has made requests, prayer requests, for members or friends who are infected with the COVID-19. No words can express my sorrow for the pain I feel in this congregation and for their tears. But we've seen stories like that on the news. Stories causing tears of sorrow to streak down the faces of individuals and families around the world. When we look at the world, we find that everything is messed up in this pandemic. We're troubled with the world's situation, and we're unsure how it's gonna work out. If there ever was a time when the world needed hope, and grace and unity and salvation. It's now. It seems the whole world is in tears. And at a time like this, it seems natural, perhaps even appropriate, to ask the question, where is God in all of this? Which questions sometimes mean, does God even care what we're going through? Most of us don't verbalize those kind of questions about God. The truth is that most of us are somehow afraid to ask difficult or challenging questions about God. Somewhere along the way, we've been convinced that questions like this are either inappropriate or unanswerable. We don't want to ask questions that make us seem irreligious or disrespectful of God. And yet, many of us are unsure of what our response should be to this that is happening to us. What is a distinctively Christian response to tragedy like we see in our world today? Many of us carry mistaken beliefs that skew our understanding of God and our ability to know Him and to know the peace and to know the love and the hope that He has for us. We're not sure how to frame that question or that thought about God. Maybe this will help. If you've been reading along this year with the reading through the Bible for 1 year, we just finished reading the book of Job. And if you'll recall the story of Job in the Old Testament, Job was a wealthy and prosperous man who lost everything. He lost all of his money and wealth. He lost his wife. He lost his children. And eventually, he lost his health. And he was sitting in the ashes with boils and scabs on his body, and he was in great, great misery. But when this tragedy struck Job, everyone around asked these kind of questions about Job, why he was going through this terrible time. They wondered if Job was suffering because of some secret sin in his life. They wondered what he had done to earn the disfavor of God. And I've heard people today are wondering if this pandemic is punishment for some sin on our world. The Old Testament book that tells Job's story has as many as 300 questions that Job was asking God and wanting answers for. And in the end, God doesn't answer Job's questions or the questions of his so-called friends who were interrogating him. And many of us will never have our questions about today answered either. We won't really know why tragedies happen. God does not promise to answer all our questions, but He does promise to stick with us and help us when tragedies strike. Where is God in all of this? You don't see Him? Look around. God is right here. God doesn't always reveal why things happen, but He does reveal Himself. And He has revealed His purpose for us. In the midst of tragedy, God has called us to live out distinctively Christian lives in the midst of what is going on in this world. We don't choose tragedy, but we can learn to live out a healthy attitude toward tragedy when it comes because of Jesus Christ living in us. Can you see tragedy around you today? Can you see God revealed in those tragedies? Can you see God revealed in the lives of people who are going through this time? Every time you click the remote and turn your TV on, we see that the world is groaning. We live in a groaning world. The planet moans in agony like a sick person in a hospital bed. You see, sin has wreaked havoc on this planet and on all of its inhabitants. Havoc upon humanity. Pain is all too common and suffering seems to be the norm. I got a call yesterday about a death in a family that asked if I would participate in the funeral this coming week. I could feel the pain, the painful tears in their heart. In times like these, I have had people ask me, what is God trying to teach them in and through their pain? And others wonder if it is possible to have enough faith to get rid of their pain. Is the reason we're suffering, is the reason people are going through bad times, is it because they don't have enough faith? They wonder, how can I get God to rescue me through my troubles? But maybe part of the reason that we don't always find answers to such questions is because we're asking the wrong questions. Maybe God isn't trying to teach us anything specific through individual pain and suffering, like Job went through. Pain and suffering, tragedy and violence, are part of a fallen, sinful world that we live in. And no one, not even Christians, are exempt from the effects of that sinfulness, of that selfishness, that have wrought itself on this planet. In other words, if you're part of this world, you're going to have tragedies and problems because it is a broken world. It is a fallen world. C.S. Lewis, great Christian writer, who was an atheist, and he began to search the scriptures to see if he could prove that Christianity and belief in God is really false. And as he searched the scriptures to prove it was wrong, God took that word from the scripture and penetrated his heart. And instead of proving that God wasn't there, he became a Christian and became a great, great man of God and author and pastor and teacher. And C.S. Lewis once wrote that pain is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. In other words, C.S. Lewis was saying pain is something that God uses to shout out that someone needs to hear what God wants to say to them and the world. Pain and tragedy can be redeemed if we allow it. Tragedy gives us an opportunity to respond to the tragedy and pain in the world in a distinctive Christ-like way. In the Bible, Jesus never really gives the why of suffering. He only tells what we ought to do in response to it. Where is God in all of this? Look around. God is right here. In our scripture lesson from Romans 5, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us and put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, that scripture that we read earlier and that you just heard now, these are the words of the Apostle Paul. And he had written them in the time of Paul's life when it was full of tragedies. He had been beaten. He had been shipwrecked, almost drowned. He had been stoned by the authorities as punishment. He had gone without food, almost starving. He had so many things happening in his life that was full of tragedy. And out of his own experience of these tragedies and these difficulties, he describes what you should do when you're going through a time of pandemic, through a time of tragedy, to a time of sorrow. He said, this is the way you should distinctively, as a Christian, approach tragedy. And Paul gives us 7 principles in that verse of scripture that we should apply to our life. He said, have faith, have peace, have grace, have perseverance, have character, have hope, and have love. Let's look at those 7 things is the way we should approach our tragedies and our struggles and our questions about God and why these things happen. First, have faith. Faith, we are taught, is a synonym for trust. In other words, if you're going to have trust in God, meaning, I should have said, if you're going to have faith in God, you should trust God. Faith is about believing God for good, even when we don't understand it. In other words, our faith, our trust in God, is that God is good even when we don't understand why these bad things are happening. Faith is central to what it means to be a Christian. It's to trust God no matter what. In the face of tragedy, faith is trusting that God is good, even when we are in the midst of adversity or sorrow. Have you seen faith in others? People who trust God no matter what they're going through? The second principle of a Christian approach to tragedy is peace. You see, peace is a gift from God that flows from faith, flows from trusting God. Peace comes when we truly believe that God is in charge and that God is good, no matter what. You know, there was somewhere in the New England states, there was a painting contest, and the theme of those pictures that were being painted was about peace. And when the contest was narrowed down to two very different paintings that were the two that was left in the finals. And people were questioning when they heard the judges announce that the painting that was of the beautiful lake with an umbrella in the sand, and it was painted with soothing and soft colors. And when they saw this, the people saw that painting came in second. And they were asking underneath their breath, well, we just look at that picture and we feel calm and it's so soothing. That picture is so wonderful. And so they began to say, when the judge held up the one picture that had won, it was a picture of a horrific storm. The breeze was floating in the air, and a roof had been lifted off of a house, and the sky was dark and gloomy. And they were asking, why did you choose that picture? And the judges pointed out why the painting had won. Because in the corner, in a rock ledge with a cove cut out in that stone ledge, there was a bird laying in its nest, and it wasn't bothered by the storm. The bird was just resting peacefully in its place. And many times in our life, it is when the world looks peaceful that all of a sudden, quickly, we're thrown into the storm. And unless we embrace the cove, which is God's hand, we will not achieve the peace He has for us. Because what we're going through is a storm. And so how can you have peace in a storm? You have to look at that picture and capture what it's all about. Even in the midst of the storm, God is there. His hand is upon us. And so we can be at peace when it looks like the whole world is falling apart around us. Have you seen peace in the storm? Where is God in all of this? Look around. God is right here. The third principle of a Christian approach to tragedy is grace. Grace is God's goodness as it's revealed to us. Grace is God's mercy in our lives. Grace is God's blessings. Grace is God's hand upon us. Have you seen grace upon your life? The fourth principle of a Christian approach to tragedy is perseverance. Perseverance is not giving up, even in the face of adversity. It can be very difficult to have the kind of faith that never questions or never worries. And I'm not sure that should be. I think it's okay to ask hard questions. It's okay to ask why. And it can be equally difficult to be faithful when we're asking those questions or seeing those things happen. But it's only through God's grace and mercy being expressed in us that we have the strength to remain faithful. In other words, we keep our eyes on Jesus. even when we're asked in those hard questions. We never give up. We realize that Jesus is there for us. God is there with us. Have you seen people of God not giving up even in the hardest times that they're going through? That's perseverance. The fifth principle of a Christian approach to tragedy is character. Character is an indefinable quality of the soul. Abraham Lincoln once said, "Character is like a tree, and reputation is like its shadow. The shadow is what we think of it, but the tree is the real thing." Character is often forged in the fires of adversity. It is built on the workbench of hardship. Have you seen godly character in the lives of others, even when they are being gossiped about or put down or described in a false way? The sixth principle of a Christian approach to tragedy is hope. It is only when everything is hopeless that hope begins to be a strength. Like all the Christian virtues, hope is an unreasonable, as it is indispensable. Hope. Hope is trusting in things not seen, knowing things that you've not been able to experience before. Hope. Have you seen hope in others' lives? Where is God in all of this? Well, look around. God is right here. And the last and seventh principle of a Christian approach to tragedy is love. Love is the driving force through it all. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. God loves you. God is with you. God is pouring His love out on you, even in the midst of hardship and tragedy. God's love, compassion will carry us through it all. It is through experiencing the love of God and expressing it to one another that we are ultimately strengthened and given power for the journey. Have you felt God's love around you? Do you know that God is here right now, loving you, caring for you, watching you, helping you? Look around. God is here. None of us would ever seek tragedy for ourselves, and nor should we ever wish tragedy on others. However, from a Christian perspective comes the confidence that God can and will use tragedy for good. As C.S. Lewis said, it might be a megaphone calling your name, calling you out of the hardships and sorrows and tears, calling you to come to Him. In Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. Maybe God is calling you. And as God is calling you, God will work all things, no matter what you're going through, whether it's health issues or whether it's the coronavirus issues or whether it's job issues or whatever it may be. We can know that those who love God, that all these things will work together for good. Because God is calling us for His purposes to Himself. Well, brothers and sisters, we're beginning September. It's a new month. And here at the beginning of this new month, that it promises to be every bit as stressful as the last couple months that we've had. And I want us to know, where is God in all of this? And where will we find God in the next month or months ahead? Because we need to know how to connect to God. Because God is bigger and more powerful and more able and better equipped than we are to navigate through this world that we live in. We need to know and believe that God isn't just out there somewhere, and that He's not really paying attention to what's happening in our world and in our lives. Look around. God is here with you right now. He knows what you have on your heart, the tears that you have in your eyes. He knows and cares about your concerns and your dreams and your hurts and your victories. You know, tears often come. Tears become trails to Christ. They can pave a way for spiritual healing. We can see Jesus through our tears if we're looking to Him. Jesus knows what tears are. He knows what sorrow is. He knows what pain is. He knows what death is. He knows what tears are. Jesus wept. There's no better time than now to weep with those who weep, as it says in Romans 12. Weep with those who weep. I want to invite you, brothers and sisters. I want you to know that Christ came. He died for you and for me. And if we would turn our eyes now to Him, the Prince of Peace, to our Savior Jesus Christ, you will see where God is in all of this. You will see that God is right here and calling you to Himself. Would you pray with me? Loving God, we thank You, Father, for all Your goodness to us. We thank You for bringing us here to this Labor Day weekend church service, allowing us to be together in the ways that we are, and that God, through Your powerful Word, speak into our hearts and our needs, that God, we do not need to feel alone. But even in the midst of the tragedy that we see around the world, You are here with us right now. God, You love us, and You will be with us, and You will walk with us through this time. So God, I just pray that You will bring about peace in the hearts of those that need it so much. For those that will be returning to their jobs after this weekend and need to stay safe, for the schools that are opening and that the children and the workers who need to have Your hand upon them. God, for our world that needs a cure and a vaccine, that God, we are asking, where are You? And You are telling us this morning, You are right here. And You're inviting us to come now. Surrender our lives and our fears and all of our hopes and put them in You. And that, God, that You will bring healing and strength and new life. So God, we come to you now and we give our all to you and receive what we need most, and that is Jesus Christ in our heart and life. Thank you, Lord. And we pray this prayer in his name. Amen.